Hebrews chapter number 11. Well, when you say Hebrews 11, you already know my subject's bigger than me. Oh, Lord. Boy, I appreciate this chapter in the Bible. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate that prayer. Amen. Appreciate a man that you can tell is not a novice. Of course, you can look at him and tell that, but appreciate people walk with God. Amen. If you do, it'll get out on you. People will know it. Pray in secret, it'll reward you openly. That's what he said. Appreciate you, Brother Andy. You're a blessing to me. I look at him like he's my spiritual brother, but I never had an earthly brother, and he'd probably fit the way he's wired. Amen. Well, I've been trying to study this last night, and today, I never preached this quite like this, so I need your prayers. God help me. Hebrews 11. I'm just going to, my subject matter is verse 5 and 6. It's a text. But we'll go ahead and read verse 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And here's the two verses. And these two verses go together. We normally read verse number 6 and never read verse number 5. Verse number 6 is based on the life of Enoch. And it uses him as an example of the kind of faith that pleases God. And that's what I'm interested in. The kind of faith that pleases God. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Think about what's being said there. He had the testimony. That means people in the world knew him by the fact that he pleased God. Now, verse number 6 is going to tell you how that he pleased God and how we are to please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, those are some big words, aren't they? Holy Father, in the next few moments, touch our heart. And Father, we take our position in Christ before thy throne, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion is named in this world and the world that is to come. And dear God, I'm so glad that we're in Christ and he's in us. Now, Lord, we need your help today. God, forgive us of any and everything. Dear God, if I said something I don't even know I said, anything, God, I confess, forgive me. Now, I want to be a help and a blessing. God, I wouldn't waste these people's time. God, to get up and not try to be a blessing, that's what we want to be. So, Lord, may your will be done, and we'll praise you for what you do and teach us faith. In Christ's name, amen. We often overlook the fact that the Lord said that Enoch pleased God. Now, we think about the fact that he was translated that he should not see death. That's not the main object of that verse. The main object is that he pleased God. What a testimony that the Holy Ghost, which I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but I wouldn't argue about it, but that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that God would say the secret of Enoch is that he pleased God. Now the book of Jude 14 and 15 reveals him as a prophet. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, take against all that are ungodly among them, of their ungodly deeds, which they've ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, Enoch knew that the flood was coming because of the fact, you know the story, he's 65 years old, and then he had, Methuselah was born. His name means when he is gone, it shall come. And the very year, and some say, Jewish history says, that the day that Noah got on the ark was the day Methuselah died. And God held the door open 7 more days. But not only did Enoch understand, not only was it revealed to him that his son would be living when the judgment came. Of course, Methuselah lived 969 years, and he's a picture of the long suffering of God. But he knew when he died, it shall come. I tell you what else he knew. He knew the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now you think about that. He knew that one day Christ was going to come with his saints. Man, with his saints to execute judgment on this world. What is faith? It is believing what God said. It's believing what he said. Do we believe what, well, we believe the Bible's God's Word. That's not an issue with us. I guarantee you everybody in here has got a King James Bible. And you believe it's God's Word. I do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it becoming a reality. I'm talking about me. And let me give you an example. I mentioned this, I believe, the first week I was here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, do we believe that? If you believe that, you don't have anxiety about tomorrow. Now, there's days we believe that and days we don't. But the key to faith is believing God that what he said, he can back it up. But you can't make yourself believe that. It comes from a close relationship with God. The secret of Enoch was that he walked with God. He had continual fellowship and communion with God, and the Lord revealed to him his secrets. Now, if a person will not believe God, God won't accept nothing I do if I don't believe him. God didn't say your witnessing please God. He didn't say my preaching please God. Though it does, if we do it right. He said without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, the ultimate sin against God is not to believe him. Now, Enoch pleased God because he believed God. Now, Jewish history says, and it makes sense to me, that the prophecies of Enoch were preserved by Noah when he was on the ark. And that those prophecies of Enoch continued up under the days of the apostles of Christ. Jude knew about them. Somebody recorded them. Somebody left a trail of record there for Jude in Jude 13 and 14. He tells about that. Only a man with great faith can enjoy communion with God. And the kind of faith that pleases God results in fellowship with God. Now listen to Genesis 5:22. It declares Enoch walked with God. He begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. When Methuselah was born, y'all know this, Enoch's 65. That event so shaped his life that he was never the same. Why was it? He believed God. You know what my daddy told me? He'll be 84 this year. He said when he is a child, people believe in the coming of the Lord more than they do right now. What about that? He said you could preach on the second coming of Christ, sinners would be saved. Saints would move. Saints would get right with God. Now we got every prophecy, update we can find, and we don't even believe it. You say, I believe it. If it's not changing your actions, you don't believe it. What I believe will change my life. Amen. I just believe what I'm living. Walking with God means walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Walking with God means walking in the light. 1 John 1:5-7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When I'm in fellowship with God, I'll be in fellowship with those that's in fellowship with Him. Walking with God means to be in agreement with God. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, you can't walk with God or please God apart from faith. Again, I want to get back to this and show you something about Enoch. They didn't just believe in God with some kind of shapes of clouds in the sky. No, there was a reason they believed what they did. Now, at the birth of Methuselah, it's revealed again that to Enoch, by his name, that judgment was coming. Methuselah would have a son by the name of Lamech. He would have a son by the name of Noah. Adam had a son by the name of Seth. Noah was 14 years old when Seth died. Now you think about that. Seth is the son of Adam. Noah knew Seth until he was 14 years old. Noah died 69 years before Noah. But Seth, being in the godly line. Now, what do we mean by the godly line? Does it mean all those were godly? No. That's not what that means. It means that's the line through which Christ would come. Oh, I think about. You say, well, there wasn't many saved people on the earth. That's right. But every one of them was the offspring of Seth. Every one of them. Did you know that the book of Genesis does not record one Canaanite that ever got saved? Not a one. All those that were saved were in the lineage of Seth, the son of Adam, who took the place of Abel. Again, Noah was 14 years old when Seth died. So he told him all the stories of Adam. That produces faith. Y'all remember the days of the front porch? If you do, you're old. And the farmer would sit up there and watch his corn grow. Tell the stories to 2 and 3 generations that were coming up behind him. Precious times when the acts of God were passed on. When what God did was passed on. That's what I'm trying to say. So Noah was 14 when Seth died. We see Adam lived to be 930 years of age. Adam, now listen to this. Adam was 622 years old when Enoch was born. Enoch knew Adam. He knew Seth. Noah knew Seth. There's a reason that these people had faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Noah is the 10th generation from Adam. Adam lived to see 8 generations of his offspring in this world. We see that Shem, who is the son of Noah, Shem lived 152 years after Noah died. Shem was alive when Abraham was born and Isaac was born. Are y'all getting this? There's a line there of men that were faithful. They didn't get saved out of looking at trees. They got saved by faithful witnesses of men that had faith. Now, I say all this trying to let us know the importance of passing on the faith. Not just facts of the faith, but reality. Faith experiences in your own life where you got your own stories. So we see when we get to Noah, the 10th from Adam, his family was the only family left that believed. Methuselah died the year of the flood. Enoch's son hated sin and loved God. He also pleased God, and the Lord let Enoch escape death. Now, in spite of this godless society Enoch lived in, Noah lived in, faith was so in their heart that they lived for God by themselves primarily. We've got no excuse. We've got 66 books of the Bible. So Noah got his faith from Methuselah, who got his faith from Enoch, who got his faith from Seth, who got his faith from Noah. Noah's father Lamech died 5 years before the flood. Think about that. 5 years before the flood, Lamech died. Methuselah died the year that the flood came. So this faith is passed on. Listen to this. Job died 3 years before Noah did. Y'all know that? Or who do you think you're going to let faith? Somebody passed it on. Somebody thought it was worthwhile to walk with God. You say, well, I've got a little old church and not many people listen to me, but you may be passing on the faith to the key person that might pass it on to another key person. I'll tell you, it's always right to do right. So the faith, Job died 3 years before Noah died. Job was 243 years before that Job was born. He lived to be 243. Now you get down to Abraham. Now you're getting down to the chosen nation. Now you're getting down to the experience of faith. Now, when God called Abraham, he is a pagan. He is worshiping in idolatry, but he knew right. He had been taught right. He knew right from his grandfather. He knew right through some of those that lived and let him know what the truth of God was. But that word Enoch pleased God. How did Enoch please God? He believed God. Didn't say he pleased man. He pleased God. Now there are certain things you can do to please man. But when you please man, or a man pleases you, we can do that in deception. I don't know you except what you let me know about you. That's all I know. I know you by your actions. I know by what you tell me. I don't know you. I know about you. I don't know one person in this world. Don't really know them. I don't even halfway know myself. I don't know my heart till God shows it to me. Think about this. You can please a man, but you can do it in deception. He can please you, but he can do it in deception. But a man can please a holy God who knows all about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you did yesterday. He knows every fault about you. He knows every chink in your armor. He knows every weakness about you. But to think that a man can have faith, the engrafted word, the implanted word put in his heart, that produces a faith that'll please God. That's amazing to me. I want to read it again. But without faith, it doesn't say it's hard. It doesn't say it's difficult. Without faith, if I'm preaching right now, without faith, I'm not pleasing God. Anything done without faith is sin. Because anything done without faith is done by your own ability and your own intuition and not being led by the Lord. Now, we believe God to the point that God will reveal himself to the seeking soul. We've all got desperate needs. Now, think about the context, and I'll say more about this in a minute. The context of Hebrews 11. He's speaking to people that are suffering great persecution. And some are going to suffer more. And what the writer is trying to say is that the same God that was then in Hebrews 11 is the same God that we've got now. We've all got desperate needs. We need God to intervene. That's called a miracle. I heard a man say this one time. He said, when God is going to do a great work, he sends problems to a person's life. If you never got sick, you would never know God could heal. If you never had a need, you would never know God could meet that need. If you never had a difficulty and a mountain, you'd never know God can remove the mountain. When God is going to do a great work, he sends a problem. But when God is going to do the impossible, he sends a miracle. Big difference. Enoch was translated, that's a miracle. He did not see death, and he was not, for God took him. Now, we need God to intervene. We need God to help us. How do you get that? Please God. That's the answer. Live your life that pleases God. You say, how do we do that? Well, in my feeble attempt, I may say a few things I hope will help you. How do we please God? How do we live a life that's pleasing unto God? He that cometh to God must believe. Here's the key to this whole verse, is that word cometh. That's the key. He that cometh to God. You know what that word cometh is? It's a worship term. It is the same word that's used when the priest would come with the sacrifice and the prayer unto God. When you come to God by faith, you come to worship him. You please God first by worshiping God. You live a life that worships God. You can't please God if you don't worship him. Out of worship comes faith. He who approaches God in worship can please God. And believing and having faith is the same thing. You can't come to God without faith. Now, the man who cometh to God is the man. Here's the deal. What are y'all doing here today? Well, it's obvious. You know why you're doing here? You know why you're here? Because you want to walk with God. You're hoping I can say something that'll help you do that. And I hope I can. But when a person comes to God, he wants to live in fellowship with God. He wants to live or her in the presence of God. They want to walk. They're not coming half-hearted now. This is not for half-hearted people. He that cometh to God. God, I want every part of my life to please you. That's who he's talking about. A life that is constantly pleasing to God. Again, the word cometh is a worship term. So the life that's pleasing unto God is lived in constant and consistent fellowship and communion with God. Folks, you can't turn God off and on and go play the flesh 5 days and then turn God back on. It just doesn't work that way. You say, I want God's power. You just said a big thing. And you fixing to get shaft. I mean, get sifted. So the shaft can be separated from the wheat. Amen. In order for us to have faith, we must believe. Now notice this. The Lord said we must believe that he is. And that he is. Now, the writer here singles out one thing that's paramount. If we don't have faith, we can't please God. You can't do one thing godly except if you don't do it by faith. That's what he's saying. Paul wrote, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So nothing pleases God like faith. Nothing pleases God like trusting him and believing him. Now, take a child, for example. They don't know how their daddy is going to meet their need. They don't know how their father is going to meet their need. But they just trust him. They don't even try to figure it out. It never crosses their mind. That's why parents, you never talk about bills in front of their children. They don't need to worry about that. Children look at their daddy and think he can buy anything. They trust him. They don't figure it out. They don't analyze it. They just believe it. That's the kind of faith that we need. What kind of faith pleases God? God never asks us to do anything that we cannot do. Every commandment of God is a promise. Did y'all know that? Every commandment's a promise. Every time God tells you to do something, He'll give you a promise and an enablement to do it. Now, you've heard all this. What did God say to Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. Telling a dead man to come forth out of a tomb when he's wrapped in all of those burial clothes. Brother Andy will tell you, that's called levitating. That's how he got out of that. He didn't walk out of that. When you're bound up with all them burial clothes, you can't move. He levitated out of there. Christ said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he said come forth, he gave him the power to come forth. Jesus told a man being lame 38 years, take up thy bed and walk. Soon as that man in his heart said, I believe, his legs got strength and he walked. He told a man with a withered hand, stretch forth thine hand. And when he did, when it was in his heart to obey God, God gave him the power to stretch out his hand. Every command's a promise. Now, the problem we have is knowing that if it's God, and I understand that. But once you know it is God, and God's let you know the timing of it, then you just believe it. Well, you believe it before you know anything else. Now, notice this. I must believe that he is. You know what that means? You got to believe God's real. That doesn't mean God exists. That doesn't mean you believe God exists. Well, these are believers here. Of course they believe God exists. That's not what that means. I believe there's a God. Well, if you're not trembling, you're not as good as the devil. He believes and trembles. There's a lot of people believe God exists. That's not what he's talking about. How can you come to God and worship him and pray to him if you don't know that he exists? Now, a lot of people believe God, in God, but they're not pleasing to God. You say, when you gonna get around the punchline? I'm about getting there. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Well, what's the context? The context is that hall of faith. The context is all those that God intervened in their lives in miraculous power. God never changes. Now the way he manifests himself changes. God changes the way he manifests himself in different dispensations. But God is the same. I'm praying to the same God Adam did. I'm praying to the same God Enoch did. I'm praying to the same God Noah did. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So what does it mean to believe that he is? It means to believe he still is. He still is who he always was. You don't come to God doubting if he can do something. You may not know if he will, but you never doubt if he can. I'd say there's not a person in this tent that doesn't believe God can do it. But we got to believe that he will. We know he can. So Hebrews 10:32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. So what he's saying there, in the early days of your experience with God, when you first learned of Christ by the gospel, you remained faithful and endured a great fight of affliction and of sufferings, and they believe God in spite of it all. You got to believe God is when it looks like he is not. That's faith. When you don't feel it, when you can't figure it out, when you can't see it, you simply take God at his word. I come to God today knowing what God did in the days of Whitfield. What God did in 1859, that's the same God right now. That does something to me. To know he hadn't lost one ounce of power. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know he can. Hebrews 10:38. This is right before Hebrews 11, of course. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, that's turn away. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. If God moved for Enoch, if God moved for Noah, if God moved for Abraham, if God moved for Moses, if God moved for Joshua, whatever God's will is for us, we're to believe he'll move for us. You got to believe that he is still God, and that he is still faithful, and that he's still a God of miracles and the supernatural. We must still believe. He said in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. Do you know God's not affected by time? God's above time. Time's not made for God, it's made for man. Time does not change nor alter God. You know who God is? He's the eternal right now. He's the eternal present. That's who God is. And you go to God, you believe that. Faith that pleases God is when a person who has faced great adversity, great disappointment, great tragedy, and can stand up and say, God is faithful. God is wise. God is good. God does all things well. When you're standing at a graveside, when you're standing in the hospital, faith is the person that can say, God does all things well. So Hebrews is a record of the miraculous ways that God delivered his people. Now, we see that God isn't opening the Red Sea today, or the walls of Jericho are not falling down. Not physically, but they do spiritually. How many times in your life was it like God would just open up the way? So supernaturally, so sovereignly, that you couldn't even believe it. How many times has God broke down the walls of opposition and the walls of unbelief and the walls of all the conflicts that we go through? Listen to Hebrews 11:32. These words here are profound. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Where'd they get that faith? They got it from God. How did they get it from God? By living a life of obedience. Amen. You can't have great faith and not be obedient. That's impossible. People that don't obey God don't have faith. They're living in the flesh. Amen. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised from the dead to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I've not even thought about what I'm about to say in a long time. 30 years ago, a fire broke out over from Flat Gap Mountain, and it jumped Interstate 40. And it's coming to Valdez, the town of the Waldensians. And my old aunt, her husband, she loved God with everything in her. Her husband had died. She had two girls. That fire was coming towards her house. That time some of us prayer boys went up on the mountain over on the other side of Mineral Springs Mountain and was praying God stop that fire. And that fire come to her backyard and stopped. I'm telling you, faith in God that can stop the fire, can subdue nations and kingdoms. That's the God we serve. Some of y'all seen God move in your church. In your life, your family, and you've never meditated on what kind of power it took for that to happen. What happened physically happens to us spiritually, and we don't even recognize it. Folks, do y'all know the miracle? I know surely you do. Oh, what happened? Brother Randy, how many weeks ago was that y'all started? Was it 10 weeks ago? Mother's Day. Folks, even what we've experienced here, 2016, what people experienced last week. Do y'all understand the power it took to drive back all these demons that's been turned loose on America? They've come from Europe. I'll tell you what Dr. Percy Ray said. He said the word of God come from England. The pilgrims come from England. Our forefathers come from England. And they broke God's word. They come with the Geneva Bible. But then they got to using the King James Bible. Pilgrims had a Geneva Bible. But the King James Bible was accepted long before our forefathers in the late 1600s is totally accepted. And our nation was built on that book, God's Word. And Dr. Ray said the devil would never be satisfied till he took four mopeds from London or from England called the Beatles that come to America and brought a trainload of demons with them. You better hear me now. They totally changed our culture. When they come over here, have you ever seen the pictures of Beatles concerts? All the boys in white shirts and neckties. And all the girls in modest dresses at their concerts. And them Beatles just had a little bit of hair over their ear. When they made that white album, in just a few years, long-haired, dope-smoking, God-hating, Christ-denying, and look at the crowd. Don't tell me it ain't got power. God changed this nation through rock music and television, and you know it. He changed the culture. Demons have been turned loose on this nation. You want me to prove that point? Now, I'm not old enough to know this, just from what my daddy tells me. In the Great Depression, when people had nothing, Brother Randy, nobody locked their doors when everybody's hungry and they don't have enough. There was integrity. God's power's on the land. God restrains evil. I'll tell you, all this sin taking place right now is the judgment of God. That's what it is. Because God's pulled the restraint back. And for God to save anybody in this hour, the way Satan, that strong man, has them bound. Do y'all understand the miracle of that? The power of that. If God loved me before he made worlds, and he did, he loves me now. In the face of all the tragedy, God is. You say, well, you mean God loved us before he made worlds? Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. I guess he did. He don't need to argue that. It's just the truth. He already had our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before he made the world, didn't he? Y'all are awful weak on that. Don't you believe what God said? Of course he said that. God had this thing figured out before he started. God had a Savior before he had a sinner. Amen. God's not abandoned me. He is. God is when it looks like he's not. When it seems like he's not. When there's no evidence he is. He still is. He's still the God of the three Hebrew children. That he's still the God of Daniel. That he's still the God of Moses. But by faith I believe that he still is. You know what faith is? Is to say, Lord, I know you allowed this to happen in my life because you so love me. That's faith. I heard a man tell about a woman and there's two boys in a car wreck, teenage boys. One got killed, one lived. And this elderly lady, she meant well. Of course she did. She come up to the one that her son lived. And she said, I'm glad God spared your son. She said, God is good. Well, he's still good to the mama that lost her son. Is he not? That's easy for me to say because I've not lost a son. I'm talking about a God who still is, who does right, who's got a plan behind what he does, who does nothing wrong. Do we believe that or do we not? Now, I'll have to live that since I preached that, but it's the truth. We need to stop interpreting the Bible in light of our experience and interpret our experience in light of the Word of God. It's time we brought our experience to the level of the Word of God. God wants to do for us what He did for Moses. Hey, God's got a Red Sea in your life. For Joshua, He's got a land for you to conquer, but you can't even get there till you die and cross Jordan. Till you die to yourself and you nail that self, flesh to the cross. Amen. God wants to do things for us. We need to expect God to work in supernatural ways. Now I've got to hurry and get to this second point. But we must believe that He is, that He still is. That's affirmation of faith. You say it's adding to the Bible. Folks, listen to me. Preaching God's Word is not just getting up and quoting 200 scriptures. Preaching is explaining it. Right? I can read the Bible. If I want to read 200 verses, I can read a Bible. I'm not against men quoting scripture. They don't get me wrong. Preaching is explaining the Word of God. It means He is. He still is. That's what that means. Number one, God is real. Number two, lastly, God is a rewarder. A rewarder of certain people. Those who diligently seek Him. If you don't have faith that God still is, you're not going to diligently seek Him. You'll get discouraged and quit. There'll be times when it seems God's distant. Listen to Oswald Chambers. He said there are times, all you preachers you're gonna relate to this for sure. There are times when God withdraws His conscience blessings. That means those that you're aware of. In order to teach us to trust Him more perfectly. Sometimes God withdraws His conscience blessings when we're not even aware of God's work in His presence. The kind of faith that pleases God does not need additional information or confirmation. It believes what God says. You ever seen a preacher like us? Get up, Brother Andy. We'll end up preaching 5 sermons. We'll get on one a while. It makes no connection. We can't find God. That's what we're doing. We go to the next sermon and we can't find God. Y'all ever had that experience? You can't find any anointing. You can't find nothing making the connection. And you're trying to find God. You ever got down and prayed? You can't find God. I'm talking about the awareness of His presence. That's when you better believe He is. Judges 6:12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Well, he was out there hiding from the Midianites. But he is trying to make a living because they're plundering the harvest of Israel every year. And Gideon's trying to beat out a little bit of wheat so his family can live. And the angel of the Lord showed up and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You know how I can say that? He's making a prophecy because God sees him as he is going to be, not just like he is right there. Is that not how God sees us already seated with Christ in the heavenly places? He didn't just see us down here. He already sees us glorified. That's what Romans 8 says. You know what old Gideon said? Same thing you and I'd say. If the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? Where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of? Gideon said, Lord, I don't see any evidence you're with me. I don't see none. Well, the fact the angel of the Lord appeared to him ought to change that. The fact that God speaks to you means God's with you. It means God's got something for you. I've heard Adrian Rogers say this, don't ever doubt in the dark what God has promised you in the light. Our God's a rewarder. He's not a pagan God that just takes. The God of Islam just takes, and He gives nothing in return. But our God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me say this, and I'll be done for long. You never waste your time seeking God. Ever. Ever. You never waste your time praying to God. You never waste your time believing God. You never waste your time waiting on God. You never waste your time trying to please God. You never waste your time serving God. It's always profitable, and it'll pay off. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You seek Him when you don't have the answer yet. You seek Him when nothing's happening. That's a sermon for another time. Persistent faith. You just keep on with a determination. Because the faith that pleases God, believes He is, He can still do it. He's the same God He always was. And that He rewards those who will not quit. That's why you keep praying. Because if you say, well, I'm going to quit. Well, you don't have faith. Real faith won't quit. Now, it may not rejoice much, but in the dark time of the valley, I don't feel like praying. God said pray. I'm going to pray. I can't do much of it, but I'm going to do it. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I'm going to do it because God said to. That's what He's talking about. He said of those that diligently, that means earnestly, seek Him. What a promise, Brother Randy. Jeremiah 29:13-14. You shall seek Me and find Me when you shall search for Me with all your heart. Job said, and all the man searching, he can't find God. That lost man cannot find God till God makes Himself known to him. A child of God cannot find God till God makes Himself real to you. But you seek Him because you have faith to believe He's a rewarder. God said, I'll be, and then He said, I'll be found of you. The seeking heart He'll be found of. Now, I've got to preach many times, couldn't find Him. Got down to pray many times, couldn't find Him. His presence and power seemed to be absent. Seemed like He wasn't around. You know what you do then? I asked one of my preacher friends. I said, what do you do when you're preaching and people's, the devil, you know, the devil fights people to hear as much as he fights you to preach. You got to remember that. And they're tired and all that demonic activity sometimes. He said, well, nobody's getting nothing out of it. He says, for our bank, preach to Christ. I just preach to Him. As Brother Terrell Crump said that, ain't that good? You know why? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not coming down here praying 10 minutes. I'm not against that. It's doing it every day. It's seeking Him every day. Sometimes He'll give you more power to seek Him, but you do it every day. It's your life. I want to promise you one thing. You'll not find Him with a half-hearted soul. You won't find Him. You got to be diligent. You seek Him and you'll find Him when you really desire Him. Now, take your children, for example. If Brother Randy, when your boys, your girls growing up, if they ask you for something one time and you just ignore them, they never come back to ask. They don't want that. They're playing the slot machine. They come by and they throw something against the wall. Daddy, I want that. Next day, Daddy, I want that. They're just throwing something against the wall, seeing if something will stick. That's the way most people pray. They'll ask God one time, just throw something against the wall. Well, let's see if God does anything. That ain't what He's talking about. If a child really wants something, they quit asking and start begging. And then they start pleading. And then they start crying. And then you got their mama asking you. Amen. You know why? Because they want something real bad. They got a desire. God wants us to ask like we really want it. Like we really mean it. Amen. To seek here means to seek out, to keep on searching until you find it. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Heard a preacher tell this story about his son. He said he's sitting in the den reading the newspaper. And that boy comes in. And he asked his daddy for something. He don't even pay attention to him. Well, after reading the newspaper a little longer, he noticed somebody's in the room. He puts the paper down. And he said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm standing here waiting for you to change your mind. There's some things you should not ever take no for an answer.
Is that not what the parables teach? The widow and the unjust judge? There's some things you shouldn't take no for an answer. Amen. When God puts that in your heart, say, God, I'm going to praise you and thank you. You're going to do it. I don't know when I'm going to ask you again, but I'm believing you are. Won't take no for an answer. Brother Mike, sometimes the most rewarding thing is not the answer. It's the process to get an answer. Because of what it does for you. Learning to believe. God breaking you. God bringing you closer to Him. So God, you got to believe God's real. You got to believe He's a rewarder. That's a pretty good outline. It ain't mine, but I repeated it. Those that diligently seek Him. So here it is in a nutshell. The faith that pleases God recognizes how much better the Lord is than what He gives. That the blesser is greater than the blessing. Are y'all getting the connection there? He that comes to God must believe that He is. That He still is what He always was. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek not the answer. Seek Him. You know when, if you are working, for example, on a rig, or you're a truck driver, or you're gone from home a lot, and you try to pacify your children because you're gone, you're trying to make up for it. So you come home and bring them all little old gifts. Won't be long. They're not waiting to see you. They're waiting for your gift. But as you get older, those children mature. They don't care about your gift. They won't be around you. When people first get saved, they just want what God's got. But when you learn to walk with Him, He's enough. You want Him. Faith that honors God can walk with God when in any situation. It's the kind of faith where Paul and Silas could sing in prison. But the process, the great blessing of the process. Don't seek the blessing, seek God. Number one priority is to please God. We're rewarded by diligently seeking Him. Ask for nothing less. Search for nothing more than Him. Seek for nothing less. Search for nothing more but Him. When you got Him, you got it all. He said, I know what you want before you ask it. If you'll just walk with me and believe me, I'll be doing this stuff before you even get to ask me. Amen. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Brother Andy, He's not only the rewarder, He is the reward. You know what Moses said? He said, not the blessing of God, and not the power of God, and not the riches of God. The reproach of Christ was greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. The reproach, having the privilege of being reproached for His name's sake, is a greater honor than having all the treasures of Egypt. Now that's faith. Abraham started out seeking the land. He ended up seeking the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? God said, I got a land over here. Abraham's trying to find that land, but he ended up seeking the Lord. What a blessing that is. So folks, my word to you today is the Lord to help all of us to put this into practice. Listen to me. When you pray, you need to tell God how great He is. God likes to be bragged on. God said, let not a man boast in his riches. Let not a man boast in what he's saying there, and I'm not quoting it just right because I just forgot it. Don't boast in all your earthly accomplishments. Don't boast in your success. Boast that you know God. Amen. That's where the boasting is. So may we learn that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now folks, it's hot in here. I'm drinking water, lemon juice in it, and you're watching me drink it, and you're probably thirsty. You're not wasting your time being here. When God, listen to me, God's man deserves a hearing. Listen to me now. When God gives that pastor a message, he deserves a hearing. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. When God's message goes out, it deserves a hearing. That's whether you preach it or anybody else preaching it. But what we're preaching is facts, truths that can change us. Believe that he is.